Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Thank you so much. For the people that don't understand Afrikaans, she said that taking the bulk out of your own eyes and the splinter out of somebody else, that's the translation to the English, okay? You know, taking the log. Just turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm glad you overcame the spirit of Duvet this morning to be in church. And it's great to be here. And I'm going to talk this morning on something very simple, but I just trust God will ignite something in our hearts again. You know, when it comes to especially our relationship with God and our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we as Christians sometimes become professional Christians in the sense that we go through the motions and we do stuff and we get so used to doing things that we don't actually recognize how precious and how amazing it is to have a relationship with the living God. The fact that God speaks to us, the fact that we can know His presence in our lives, there's absolutely nothing like that. The presence of God in your life, in my life, is our exceedingly great reward. It's what we have and what we must treasure and what we must value. And all of us know that when we're in a relationship, just saying to your wife the day when you get married, I love you and I'm committed to you, that's not going to last, because most ladies have a short-term memory loss. So in that sense, that a week later you have to say the same thing. No, not a week later, every day. Why? Because there's something precious when you say, I love you. You know, when we say it to each other, we don't just take it for granted. In any relationship, when you go to somebody and you tell them how much they mean to you, we unfortunately in the South African culture and in the Western culture, we've got a great performance orientation and a guilt orientation. So that's the basis of our culture. So we forget those things. We take it for granted. We forget to hug the people around us. We forget, you know, because we sort of just go on for the next task or the next thing we must do. And yet when it comes to our relationship with God, sometimes we forget to stop. We forget those moments to build memorials and just stop and worship and throw a big party and say, God, thank you that you are with us. So, amen. Is that right? Okay, thank you for enthusiasm on this side. In Matthew 25, I'm going to talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 25, we all know the story. It says, Jesus spoke about the kingdom. And he said, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So it's quite a intense story Jesus tells. And if we understand a little bit of the culture, the Jewish culture was that when the wedding was coming, nobody knew exactly when it would happen. What was the exact timing? So there was always a waiting. And so what would normally happen is the bridegroom would go, and he would either go to his father's house and they would build an extra part, like in the Middle East, an extra part or an extra room, or a couple of rooms onto the house. And when that's finished, then what would happen is there would be announcement that some other time the wedding is going to be there. And so they would do all their preparation, and so the bridegroom would be at another place, and then the bride and all of her friends, all of these ladies would sit and be waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom, but nobody would know when it was. There would just be an announcement as the bridegroom would come through the town, or this little city or the village, and then there would be trumpets blowing, and there would be a lot of noise, and hey, it's the wedding time has come, and then suddenly everybody would come, and then she would be fetched to this great wedding. And so in this context, this story, Jesus tells this story. So for a Jewish, average Jewish person, they knew that there was an expectation, there was an urgency, there was a waiting, but nobody knew when the bridegroom would come. But it was always like being ready. You had to. I just imagine this bride. Now today, in our type of weddings we do, is the bride knows exactly when she's going to walk in, when what is going to happen. The program has been worked out and all of that stuff. I just imagine waiting for 2 days for the bridegroom to come. What type of makeup the bride would wear, you know, and what type of, when would she have her hair done? You know, it was already, you had to like be very prophetic to know exactly when that time would come. But that's just a joke. Okay, so, but we see this picture playing off. And now there's these two groups. And the one group is ready. The one group has got oil in their lamps. And they took oil in an extra vessel. But the other group just didn't have it. They just didn't. Arrive. And now when we see the story, and we've all read the story, but so when the bridegroom finally comes and he's in, and these other foolish virgins come back, the bridegroom says the following. He says, "You can say, Lord, Lord, but I do not know you." And that knowing talks about an intimate place and a place of relationship that God has and who wants with us. The challenge just here is all these virgins were expectant for the bridegroom to come even. They were not out in the fields doing their own thing and suddenly came running to the wedding. They were there. They were waiting for the wedding. So there's a lot of people that write about this, but so it actually talks about Christians, people that had an expectation for the wedding to come. So if you break it down a little bit, it's quite a scary story. Because it says some people that has got the label of Christian on their lives, some people that go through all the motions, they're even ready for the wedding, or they have got sort of a say, yes, Jesus is coming back, but there's no intimacy, there's no relationship. There's no, because they say their Lord, Lord, they say all the stuff, Matthew 7 verse 21 to 22. And it also talks about a group of people that will stand before Christ one day and say, Lord, Lord. And then he will say, hey, I don't know you. Depart from me. It's quite a shocking place and a reality that we all have to come to. So when we start off by reading this, you and I must know that what happened in your life as a Christian 10 years ago is a great testimony. But the question is, what is happening today? Not did I wait 3 years ago or did I 5 years ago, but there's a relationship that God wants us to have with the Holy Spirit. And yet for many people, many charismatic Christians, and I'm saying this with a lot of respect, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they got baptized with the Holy Spirit, sometimes maybe even at Encounter One some other time, but there's no relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're not being led by the Holy Spirit. And yet when you move a little bit and you shift to the Middle East and you shift to some places, God is moving in the most astounding, amazing ways where people are just living in a relationship and a place with God where God speaks to them. Now, I just want to say that if you're a Christian here today and you love Jesus, and I trust most, because I know some people here, so we know a lot of you, you're in a small group, so we assume that everybody's Christians. Or most people here are Christians. And if you're not, then there's going to be an opportunity at the end for you to respond. But when you ask most Christians, even charismatic Christians today, and you say to them, what is God saying to you? Then most people would say, no, I'm reading Matthew 4 today. Or I'm doing this. Or I'm reading through my Bible. But if we say the voice of God, what is the voice of God? How does God speak to you? Then most people will say, I'm not sure. But then I say, but Jesus said in John 10 verse 10, my sheep hear my voice. I've come to give life and life in abundance. So the devil has come to a place where he lies to a lot of Christians about whether God speaks or he doesn't. I say to you that if you're a Christian, God speaks to you. He speaks to us all the time. And through the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us all the time. It's just sometimes that lots of the noises out there are much louder than God's voice, because God does not scream. God does not shout. God does not compete for other people's attention. That's why we have a quiet time. That's why we have solitude. Why? Because the art of solitude has been lost to the church, especially charismatic church, because we like noise. Yeah, and as long as the noise, I'm not referring to the worship. We like noise in our ears. So we love a lot of stuff, but we've lost the ability to hear what God is saying. And I want to tell you that if you say you're a Christian here today, you hear God's voice. Just learn to tune out all the other voices. What is the other voices? The voice of circumstance, the voice of the world, the voice of your flesh. The voice of that spirit of Duvet that said to you this morning, hey, don't go to church, you know, this is so nice, you know, worship me, you know. No, I'm not joking. So let's go for it, okay. But you know, so don't believe the lie that God does not speak to you. The other day I was sitting in a meeting in Durban, and it was quite an important meeting, and everybody's like, there's a lot of Waipoloi, like, people there. And I'm sitting in the middle, and the Holy Spirit says to me, the Holy Spirit says to me, go outside, your car's lights are on. Now, I'm thinking, like, I didn't put my lights on. So now my voice of reason comes. This is an important meeting. What are the people going to say if I stand up now? Am I offended with what the guy said or whatever? And I'm thinking, now I'm beginning to reason. No. You know, my lights are not on. It can't be on. Because it was just this thought that came right in. It just dropped into my spirit, and I knew that this was God speaking. So I'm thinking, like, oh, okay. No, I didn't put my lights on because I drove not in the dark here, so it can't be all that stuff. Now, I had one of these rented cars, these small ones. They've got their battery so small that if you put the lights on for 10 minutes without the car starting, you'll have a flat battery, you know. So I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but. So eventually, after about 5 minutes, I decide I'm just going to stand up. I'm going to be obedient. Even if I miss it, I'm rather going to do that. And so I go outside, and everybody's checking, and I'm just going and there. And I get to the car, and my vrentivar, that in English is my vrentivar, okay? My vrentivar, the car's lights are on. And I'm thinking, this would have been the most crazy, horrible day in my life, because I would have missed the plane back, because I only had, after the meeting, I had to rush there, and you can't, you know, me pushing this little car up the hill, because it was parked up the hill. I just saw all the pictures, yeah? And I was just, the whole day I was sitting there, I must be honest, I didn't hear a word the preacher person said for the rest of the thing, because I was thinking of how many times do I ignore God speaking to me in terms that feels very natural, and then later, because of reason, because of I'm in charge, I quench the Holy Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit. The difference between quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit, quench is just when you ignore him, when you're disobedient. He speaks to you, but you just think, like, oh man, I'm going to do my own thing. Grieving is when it comes to sin, when we deliberately walk in a way and the Holy Spirit says, don't go there, and you continue to go there, and you commit sin. But quenching is almost like taking a sponge and you just take all the water out. And we do that with God. We ignore God, and then the thing that challenged me a lot, it was last year, when I walked on the campus, I asked God, I said, God, why are so few people living the Christian life? There are lots of Christians and even 20 charismatic churches at the moment in Stellenbosch, but why is there so little fruit? And the Lord said to me, I'm just another option in so many people's lives. I am not Lord. I'm just something else people add to their lifestyle. And when we read this parable, I get the fear of God in my life. I don't know about you. Because I realized, like, Lord, what is my expectation of you coming back? What is my desire of that wedding supper of the Lamb? That everything I do in my life and how I live is directed with an urgency of Christ is coming back soon. And then what's going to happen that day is we're going to have a massive festival. We're going to have a massive place with Him, but there's also going to be an account where it's going to be just you and just Him. And you're going to look into that Jesus' eyes, the one with fire in His eyes. And it's just going to be the two of you having an audience with each other. And then you can't say, Jesus, wait a moment, because my children are more important than this conversation we have. Or, Jesus, my parents or my boyfriend or my this, they're not going to be there. It's going to be you and Him. And He's going to look with that fire in His eyes at you and He's going to ask, what did you do with the most precious thing that I gave to you? Is my voice, my presence, my spirit. You see, the word, there's a word in that the Bible uses, the main word that we see in the New Testament for the Holy Spirit is the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside us to help us. But there's another word that the Scripture uses a lot. It's the word arabon, which means down payment or deposit or engagement ring. Or you can also translate it into being a seal of promise, meaning that the moment when God gives us His Spirit, and if you're visiting here, when we get saved, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit, but there's another opportunity where we get filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not the same thing. The presence of God when you get saved, because you can't come to Jesus when you get saved without the Holy Spirit. But when you, there's another place which you call the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But when you get baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens is God places a seal, a down payment, a engagement ring on your life and says there's going to be a wedding one day. Isn't it amazing that God speaks to us so much, like He speaks in the family relationship, in our marriage? It's just such a beautiful picture of Jesus and the church. So it says, I'm engaged to you. So don't have eyes for anybody else. Don't walk, you know. This one guy came the other day and he asked me, you know, I'm engaged to this lady, but, you know, and somebody else asked her for this dance. And I said, kill him. Raise him from the dead later, you know. And this guy, he told me about how jealous he was. And I said, you've got all the right to be jealous. You're engaged to that lady. Send the guy a beautiful Christian SMS and say, go to another country on a mission trip. The Lord bless you and keep you far away from me, you know? And I'm thinking, everything you are experiencing right now, that is what Jesus feels when somebody comes to mess with your wife or your children. Or, you know, if you engage, you only have eyes for one. But if you engage to somebody and that guy has got eyes for a lot of other girls, dump him. Throw back the ring. No, go sell the ring and buy yourself something else with it. But just, he's not even worth to get the ring back, you know. But the point I'm trying to make is very simply, if we engage to Christ through the Holy Spirit, why do we have eyes for the world? Why do we have eyes for so many other things? When God has put His seal on you, and He said to the whole world, that's my bride. But let's start behaving like His bride. Are you still with me? So let's go to where the church was launched in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And was at a specific feast. I love this. You know, God sets up His church. Jesus birthed the church. It wasn't birthed at Pentecost. Jesus and His relationship with the disciples, that was the church. And so here we see in Acts, and sometimes we forget our birthright and our spiritual birthright. And that's why I want to read the scripture. The Holy Spirit comes with tongues of fire on each one, not just on some. It was then everybody that waited. There were, obviously, Jesus gave the command to 500 people or more, and only 120 made it to the upper room. Jesus said, go to the upper room and wait for the outpouring, the promise of my Father. And so 120 makes it. And they sit there and they're quite uncomfortable. Probably I had the privilege of being there in the upper room in Jerusalem. It's a small place. It's not very big. I'm thinking like, wow, how did 120 people fit in here? And they stayed here for quite a while. So in that dynamic of relationship, of working out and even being frustrated, it's in that dynamic of those group of people coming to agreement that God sends His Holy Spirit. It's in the dynamic even of great fear around them and even in their hearts, because the doors were locked. They were hiding. They were thinking like, this is crazy. Jesus sends us back to that same place where He got killed. So it wasn't a comfortable place. The Holy Spirit has not come to make your life comfortable. He is the comforter, because you're going to be out of your comfort all the time. He's going to lead you to places where you don't feel that you are in control. Why? Because you are not. That's the good news. That's why He is the comforter. But the greatest thing that keeps us from being led by the Holy Spirit is comfort. Worldly comfort. Because we begin to relax. We think like everything is together. And that's why we have this picture of God sending this group of people up there to the upper room and says, wait. He doesn't say, on Thursday, 12 o'clock, be ready, put on your white robes and have an expectation, because at 12 o'clock, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He just says, go up there, wait. And now I can imagine just all the relationship issues and all the stuff. That was not comfortable. They probably said, well, these people are going to kill us anytime. What's happening outside the doors? What are the people going to do? Because they killed Jesus and they after us, they're going to come for us. And in that place of very discomfort, the Holy Spirit comes suddenly. I love God's plans. And He comes at a specific time when all the Jews, all the different groups had to be in Jerusalem. So God takes the Holy Spirit right into the center of what we call the Feast of the Harvest, the Pentecost. And there He pours out the Holy Spirit, and now the doors open up because there wasn't enough space inside. The Holy Spirit came, they had to get out. So here they come out speaking in tongues, going wild. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, and now we catch up with the scripture. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised, Acts chapter 2, verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. So why would he say they are not drunk if they did not behave like being drunk? No, but the Holy Spirit is not going to make them look drunk, you know, because that's not dignified, because dignity is at least a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because if I'm controlled, I'm dignified, because He is, in any case, holy. But there was a phenomenon here, and they looked drunk. So Peter says, no, guys, this is only in the morning. These people are not drunk. But what is happening here, it may be strange to you, but let me tell you, because they were starting to speak in languages, in all the different languages of all these nations that were together. And these people understood their languages, you know, that they were speaking. And he says, and it shall come to pass. This is what the prophet Joel already prophesied in the last days. Says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we love the first part, but the second part is quite rough signs that you see there. Talk about darkness, and now lots of people talk about the blood moons and all of that stuff. Forget about half of that stuff. But it says there'll be signs that with darkness. It doesn't talk about these last days as if it's going to be comfortable days, smoke and fire and it's going to, you know, we're going to have no Hollywood because it's just going to be like the movies are going to happen all around us. It talks about natural signs. It talks about a lot of stuff. So I always thought like, God, send the Holy Spirit to the place of our comfort. It's happening in the last days that God is going to pour out His Spirit, and He's already doing that. Why? Because our world is going crazy. Our world is going crazy. Can somebody say amen? This is not a comfortable place to live in anymore as a Christian. But the amazing thing is that's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why God brings His fullness in our lives. And He says, there'll be dreams, there'll be visions, there'll be the prophetic. There'll be a place where people will come together and I will show great and mighty signs and wonders. Now that is our spiritual birthright. Can somebody say amen? But why do we settle for second best? Why do we settle for just going through our lives and making our normal lives just normal? When we lose our expectation. So what should you do every night before you go to bed and say, God, if you want to speak to me in dreams, because I realize my spirit doesn't go to sleep. My spirit is awake all the time. Lord, show me visions. Show me. And we're not chasing after those things, but we're chasing after God. We are walking after God. We're following Christ. But Scripture says these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will heal the sick, raise the dead. Now, the church in the Middle East and all over that's getting a lot of persecution. They are really walking in it. They're walking in God's fullness. And we're not asking God for persecution, but we're saying, God, we want to walk in that place. And I realize what I'm sharing this morning for some of us, because the Lord showed me that many of us as Christians here this morning are discouraged. We feel very discouraged. We feel that what I'm sharing on is so far removed from where you are right now. But that is exactly why. Because when God speaks to us, He says, come, Abraham, come out of from where you are. And I'm not going to tell you where to. I'm not going to give you a 5-point plan. Are you willing to come out of your place of fear, of your place of discouragement, of your place of anxiety? Abraham, for Abraham, it was idolatry. Come out of your place of idols. Because Abraham, I want to show you who I am. I want to show you. And so your expectation, that's my question this morning. What is your expectation when it comes to sonship, when it comes to life? Now listen to this in Romans chapter 8 verse 15. It's getting very quiet here, but we've got like 500 hula hoops here. We've closed the door. So at the end, we're going to do our hula hoops just to warm up a little bit and do prophetic dancing. Okay, now I've got everybody's attention. Okay, Romans 8 verse 15. Listen to this, that we love Romans 8 verse 15, but I want to read it in verse 14 because Romans talks about sonship. But it says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The true mark of sonship and relationship with God is whether you're led by the Holy Spirit or not. Whether you have this relationship where the Holy Spirit teaches you, the Holy Spirit brings in remembrance the things that Christ has done, but it's a living relationship. And if you're new in these things, I want to tell you every day, the Holy Spirit is like a person. It's not a mist. It's not a spooky thing that happens, but talk to the Holy Spirit as your best friend. So when you walk down the road or you drive in your car, talk to the Holy Spirit. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. That's how you start. Just say, acknowledge Him. Consecrate yourself. And then in your house and in your neighborhood, walk your neighborhood and say, God, I consecrate. That's why we sometimes take oil, because oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and we anoint things. We pray walk. You know, there's a guy, and I think we showed his video here one day, but he did astral projection. That's where your spirit leaves your body and you go and travel all around. And he said the only neighborhoods where he could not get in was those where the Christians prayed on the corners of those neighborhoods. The other neighborhoods, they would come in and do all their chamos and all their stuff and destruction and curses. But there were some neighborhoods they could not get in because of the Christians. Because they would take and walk those roads and they would pray and say, God, we claim this ground. There's a residence here on campus. At the beginning of the year, we just said to them, hey, walk around the res. And they did that. they already have 15 small groups in that residence. And I tell you, by the end of the year, and it's happening, because that's what we ask God. We said, God, we pray that people in this residence that do not know you, they'll start to dream dreams. They'll start to ask questions. Because what we're doing, God, is we sealing off this place for you. We're saying, God, this is your ground. We're not going to let all these other stuff come in and distract people and all that stuff. So watch this space. Revival is going to come in that residence. Why? Because there's some people that understand spiritual things. Now you as husband or leader of your home, you better take that oil and you need to anoint your children and you need to walk around your house and you need to, you know, pray in the neighborhood where you are, or pray at your work. Don't just assume stuff. I worked for 4 years as an accountant, and every morning, two of us, there were just two of us that were saved and spirit-filled in the whole company. We prayed for 2 years. I worked there for 4.5 years. At the end of those 2 years, the CEO of the company called me in to see me and talk through, and he did two things. And the first thing he says, this company prospers because of one reason. And I said, oh, okay, what is that? He says, because you have been praying. I haven't told anybody. It was just the two of us, just praying, sometimes walking around the place early in the morning, just saying, God, because we're here, we're putting a watchman over this place. Just two out of 600 people. And the second thing he did is he had a repentance letter. He had a repentance and he said, these 15 things we're going to change in this company that were ungodly, we're changing it. And this is the programs. And I don't know why. This was his words. He says, I don't know why I'm telling this to you because you're leaving, but I need to be accountable to somebody. I'm sitting there, I'm shocked out of my system. I wanted to ask him a raise, but I couldn't because I was leaving. But so, because do you know what? Even the world, unsaved people recognize where spiritual authority comes from. But there's a word, I think it's a French word, nonchalant, you know? It's like, where does that word come from? It's just like, Some of us go like this. The Afrikaans says, laat Gods water oor Gods akker loop. No, you walk on Gods akker. Because God said, you do and you claim and you consecrate because you must be a God over your house. You and I must stand there. But why do we lose that urgency? Why do we? Because it's the virgin principle, that foolish virgins and the wise ones. Because some were just thinking like, hey, he's going to come. He said he's going to come. So, maybe everything is going to be ready. Maybe it's going to happen. Maybe it's not going to happen. Oh, yeah, and there'll be other people that have oil, and we can somewhat grab their oil. And whoop, the door is closed. I'm calling some people up for just the urgency again. It says, verse 15 of Romans 8, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. In verse 16, I love this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we also suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings, verse 18, of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Nature out there is waiting for the revelation of your relationship with the Holy Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit has come to bear witness that you're a son of God, that you're a daughter of God. Why are we believing so many lies? Why are we walking around as if we are not sons of God? And I've told this story many times, but you know, there was a lady that lost her marbles. She went to Green Roofs, Groendakkies in Cape Town, the place where psychiatric places. And two ladies prayed for her, and eventually she got saved. She came out with a sound mind. Her name is Tarina. And a couple of years later, I met up with Tarina. I was with her in school. And she said she walked down Stellenbosch. She studied here, and I think in the end of her second year, she lost her head and everything, and her mind and everything. And she was there for, I think, 6 months. Completely lost it. But she said when she walked down here, Victoria Street, she would come to the conservant and she would recognize where the spirit-filled Christians were. She would see them from a mile because they were like shining. They were like, there was like light shining from them, and she could not place her curses on them. She would actually walk to the other side of the road when they came walking down the side of the road. But then she said the following that really struck me, and I'll never forget it in my life. She says, the only thing is they never knew how much light they were shining out. They looked defeated. She said that puzzled her because they were shining so much light, but they didn't realize what they had. They didn't realize the seal on their lives. She tried to curse, but it didn't work. The whole of creation is eagerly waiting for the adoption, the revelation of the sons of God. So God calls you and I, and God wants us to say, and maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, yes, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know where I'm at. I'm just surviving at the moment. And I've got lots of respect for that survival. But some other time you have to say, I can't stay here anymore. It's either going to be your expectation and your faith or your desperation. That's going to say, like Joshua and Caleb, we're not going to go around this circle again. These group of people, these Israelites, they're stubborn. We've been here 40 days. It would have taken us probably 4 weeks. Some people say 2 weeks to travel the road that God called us to get into the promised land. It has taken us 40 years because of stubbornness, because of rebellion. So Joshua and Caleb stands there before the Jordan and they just say, look here, guys. I love what Caleb says. Caleb says, I am stronger in my spirit now than what I was 40 years ago when we came here the first time. Because Joshua and Caleb never, never walked away from their spiritual inheritance. Whether it was Daniel, whether it was Joseph, Joseph was faithful to the giftings on his life, even when he was in prison. He didn't forsake it and say, oh, I'm just surviving here. You know, I've been betrayed. I'm so offended with all these people because, you know, my own brothers threw me in prison. They did all this stuff against me and all of that stuff. In prison, he's still faithful on the giftings that God placed on his life, and he interprets the dreams. Why? Because he understood the Holy Spirit. He understood his relationship with God is the most precious thing. But when we go through tough times, what we do, the first thing we do is we walk away from our spiritual inheritance. I love there's a guy, Dr. Yonggi Cho. He's got one of the biggest churches in the world in South Korea. He's got 1.2 million people in the church. And they asked him one day, he says, you've got a very busy schedule. So obviously, you know, what do you do in your busy schedule? Then he said, when I have a very busy day, I wake up an hour earlier than normal. Not 5 a.m., but 4 a.m. because I realize I must spend an extra hour with God because I'm going to really need him in this day. What's the first thing we do? Oh, no. I'm going to wake up at 7 because you know what? I'm not going to make it through the day. Our source. What's your source of life? What's my source of life? It's getting very quiet in this place, but we're locking the doors. Okay, last scripture, the last one of the introduction. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. I'm just trusting God that today there will be an expectation again for us to just walk out from the lies and the discouragement and the stuff and realize, but hey, there's something more. God has already given it to us. It's not like many people say, oh, let's wait for him to pour out. Oh, let's wait for him to do a new thing. He's going to do nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun, scripture says. He's already given you life and godliness in Jesus Christ. So walk in it. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Paul writes to a church that is practicing the gifts. It's a charismatic church. They are practicing. The whole book of the first book of Corinthians is called the book of order or the book of divine correction, the book of correction. Because there's a lot of stuff in the way they practice stuff, and the ladies were sitting up there on the balcony and the guys, all the men were sitting down there, and there was just chaos because the ladies got so excited, they just screamed from up there, and then that's why Paul says, no, ladies, don't speak like that in church. Come down and speak down here. Don't. So it was just bringing practical order to a lot of things. Now, lots of people say, no, ladies are not allowed to speak in church, which is nonsense, yeah? There were a lot of practical things that he's sorting out. So he's writing to a church that has got everything. They're already speaking in tongues. They're prophesying. They're praying for the sick. And now he comes and he says to them, brothers, do you know what? Don't be ignorant. Don't neglect, some translation says. Now my wife and I, Louise, when we stayed in Onderpapagaaiberg, okay, that's like a little place on that side of the town where all this clan in the middle here stays with all their dogs and all their extended families. They're about 40. They're taking over the whole area. They're invading Stellenbosch from that side. So when we stayed there, we moved into this house, and then there was this tile at the in our kitchen where we came in. And there was sort of a wooden floor and there were tiles in the kitchen. But the tiles were a bit higher than the floor, so what would happen because of all the traffic going into the kitchen and out of the kitchen and going to the back door, you had to go through the kitchen, the one of the tiles there broke. So it split in two. And so to make a long story short, we started to use, now I'm handyman 101, minus 101, you know, I've received some talents but not handyman talents. So I go to the warehouse place and I get all the stuff and patch it together and pluck it there on the floor again and just, you know, and think like I'm really great because it's stuck down there. It was a bit higher than the rest of the tiles because the whole tile came loose and broken too. So now I'm fixing it, you know. It didn't last long. 3 days, 4 days later, it broke again. Now we're driving around all over Cape Town trying to find the same the same colors because we didn't have any extra tiles. And we couldn't find it. So we pluck again and we try again. But eventually what happens is this tile breaks completely loose, and now we throw a little carpet over it because there's a hole there. And then grandmother almost broke a hip, so we couldn't use the carpet anymore because she was like surfing all the way to the back door. So we've made all these plans, you know. So eventually, 6 months later, there's no carpet, there's no tile there, the hole is just there. And we're just walking past. And after 6 months, God says the following to me. He says, what's happened to this tile and this hole? You treat my Holy Spirit exactly the same. You get so used to that there is nothing there and that it's not fixed. It just becomes part of your environment. You've lost your expectation. You've lost. Because, you know, eventually I did not see the hole in the floor. Because it got so used to it got used to my environment. I just sort of like, we just walk over it, past it. Until some visitors always come and say, hey, what happened to the tile? No, it broke just not long ago. Meantime, it's 6 months ago, you know. Now, that is ignorance, neglect. And we do exactly the same with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We get so used to that He just speaks to us once in a while. He just speaks to us maybe once in a year. And then we pray for somebody. Or when we, as a small group, need to get together, then we're very excited because, you know, now the Holy Spirit is going to be there. And then we live a dualistic life. We forget that He wants to speak to you in your job situation, when you drive in the car. Don't be ignorant. But He talks here about the gifts. So what He goes on in verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. Now listen to what He says. We're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. He says, don't forget, don't be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. So he says, you're either going to be led by the Holy Spirit or something else is going to lead you. Maybe the appetites, maybe the world system. But he says, idols. Idols in our lives. Stands on the one side. And the Holy Spirit stands on the other side. And you're going to be led by one of them. Your attention is going to go to one of them. Now, idols in our society is not poles like we have in India and Nepal where people dance around them and throw them in the fire. Not the kids that stuff, but they do sometimes. But you know, our idols as others, it's the unseen stuff, idols in our hearts. And that's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because your idol will be your treasure. The thing that you think about, the thing that you dream about, the thing that you want to please, that's anything that you place above the Lord Jesus Christ in your life is an idol. And that can be your wife, your husband, your children, your car, your family, your holiday, your job. And we are led by either the Holy Spirit. He's talking to a charismatic church. He's talking to a charismatic church. He's talking and speaking to a charismatic church. You're either going to be led like in the old life to idols or you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. He says, don't be ignorant on what is your inheritance. And now he begins to define what it is. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, I wish we could have an hour just spending on this whole idea of lordship and connecting it with the Matthew 25 we just read and the Matthew 7 that I quoted, where people say, Lord, Lord, but I do not know you, is what Christ then says. The virgins call out, Lord, we're here. We're going through the motions. And yet here he says, no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to take a part of your life and my life and make it surrender to God. There's a place where the Holy Spirit wants to take you that you and I cannot surrender. We're too afraid to go there. Why? Because of control and manipulation. But the Holy Spirit wants to take you there. He's going to help you. He's going to help you to see the Father. He's going to help you to surrender. But we cannot go there if there's not a relationship, a constant relationship with Him. And He wants to take us into that deep place of intimacy with God. We can't do it ourselves. It's not through our effort or our performance or how many worship songs. It's a place in our hearts. Scripture talks in the New Testament about having a circumcised heart, to have a wholehearted worship towards God, a wholehearted surrender. Now, we can't go there in the natural. We don't have the ability because of our culture, because of the lies around us, all that stuff. But the Holy Spirit is there to help you. What does He help you? That middle scripture? To cry out, Abba, Father. Cry out, a place deep in your spirit where you cry out to Him. You're my Father. I'm your son. He bears witness. He bears witness in that place. But we want to talk about intimacy. We want to have these big words throwing it around in the church, but we have no clue what the Holy Spirit, it's only the Holy Spirit that can bring us to that place. But we're afraid to go there because of idols, because of control. And that's why I want you to close the doors and put out the music and put out everything else. And they say, God, help me to cry out, Abba, Father. I don't know what that means. It's a place in your heart that God wants. Now he says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. He's talking about the gifts of the Father, the gifts of Jesus, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then after that, he begins to explain to us the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the speaking in tongues, gift of speaking in tongues, gift of interpretation of tongues, the gifts of healings, the gift of faith. He mentions the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The other gifts of the Father, which are the serving gifts or the motivational gifts. You get it in Romans, I think it's chapter 6. Is it chapter 6? Romans 6. the baptism in chapter 6. I've got a blank a bit now, but go and read it, okay? Read the whole Romans, you'll find it there. Okay, so it talks about leadership and giving and all the different other gifts. But he comes and he urges this church that is a charismatic church, and he says, guys, we can't be ignorant about this. And then verse 13, he talks about, or chapter 13, he talks about love, our motivation. And then chapter 14, he starts with the same thing again. He says, desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you can prophesy. Because do you know what? That's how you keep your lamps full. Is living in the presence of God. Living every day as a spirit-filled, born-again Christian. Why? Because everybody is called to ministry. Ministry isn't what we do here. This is equipping. Ministry is what you do when you go out those doors. Because you're going to meet with unsaved people, with people that have never come to church, and they're not going to come to church because of our nice programs. We have become masters in the church of attracting other Christians from other churches because our programs are just better. But we don't realize that we've become ignorant because we've lost the power. We've walked away from our birthright. We've walked away from intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And that's why God invites us. God does not accuse. He never talks in the accusation format. He always invites us. He says, do you want to come? I want to show you. And then our first reaction is, no, I'm too busy. No, I'm too distracted. No, my life is too full. And that's in that place where the Holy Spirit says, come. Come to the upper room. The kids make noise. They scream, want all of your attention, all of this stuff around you. And the Holy Spirit says, come. I think it was John Wesley's mother that used to, that one of these big preachers that she had 13 children. And then every time when the children would just go crazy, she would take a little apron and throw it over her head and just sit in the kitchen and just pray to God. And all the children knew that you never interrupt mom when she prays and speaks to God. Because that's where her strength comes from. Never interrupt mom. So mommies, daddies, sometimes forget about the needs of the children and first ask God what is on his heart. And your children will be blessed because they're going to know you know where your source is. No, but my family is so busy. I'm so busy. Everything is so busy. Don't be ignorant, church. Don't walk away from your spiritual birthright. You're being led by something else. Idolatry. Or you're led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not harassing with us. I'm not trying to fight with us. All I know is God is holding before us. Church in the West, we need to make a decision. Church in the West, stop programs. Stop a lot of noise. Do you want to be led by my Spirit? Do you want to discover? Or are we going to go into a time of intense persecution? And that intense persecution will come. I'm afraid, I must tell you, not a negative afraid, I'm just tense about the church in America at the moment. And I'm thinking, Lord, there's a massive challenge coming for the church in the West. Because the idol poles are right in the middle of the church and nobody talks about them. So I want to encourage you, we gave you a little card. Where do you start? Start by living the principle of consecration. Start by believing that God speaks to you in his still small voice and learn to tune into that still small voice. Consecrate everything. Consecrate your children. Every day pray over them. Consecrate your workplace. Just take 3 minutes before you start working. Close the door. Say, God, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Before you go to bed tonight, or this afternoon with your middag sloppy, with your afternoon beauty sleep. Say, Holy Spirit, is there anything you want to speak to me? That's what holiness means, is a group of people that have sanctified themselves unto God. Say, God, this is space. The Bible says your temple, that body that you have, it's not yours. It's a body, it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Look after it, consecrate it every day. Say, God, what you say, our dreams, vision, stuff, I want to see that. And then you begin to pray it over your family. Begin to say, God, we want to be really a spirit-filled group of people. We want our lamps to be filled. We want the vessels with our lamps to be filled so that there's enough even for others. But God, we refuse to bow to idolatry. We refuse to just go same old, same old. And don't think, you're the pastor up there, he's so spiritual, he prophesies, all of that stuff. No, 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 no. The same Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, that's the same Holy Spirit that quickens your body. The scripture says you did not receive half and I received 35% and you received 40% and you received 70%. No, no, some people just grow in authority because of obedience. That's the only way you grow in your spiritual authority is by being obedient to what God tells you and doing it. Then you grow. But there's some people that's in church, like in the Corinthian church, and they're still little infants. They've been in the church 15 years, but they've never grown. And then you get a 9-year-old that comes and tells you stuff. Like I had, like last year, a little 9-year-old came. A little guy from Kaimandi came right to the front and he stood right here and he said to me, Pastor, don't worry. Because when I came into that door, there was a man greeting me at the door. But he had no shoes on. And I looked down and I realized, but there's holes in his feet. And I looked in his hands and I realized that there's holes in his hands. Why are you worrying so much, Pastor? Because Jesus greeted me at the door. I said, son, wait. Repentance. Because I walked past Jesus. I didn't see him. I was too busy focusing on what I must preach. I don't think anybody else but the 9-year-old recognized him. He was greeting people at the door. That door, that door. So I want to encourage you. We gave you a little card. Ask God to just begin to pray for others that are in need of a touch of Christ. People around you. Unsaved people. Broken people. People that you know that's got a need. And we're going to start to trust God that we're going to do ministry. But not the pastor. Don't call the pastor. Don't call Mac. Don't call me when there's trouble. You go when they call you. Because you've been praying. And you take this little card, put it in your pocket, and you just say, God, I want to become a minister of the gospel. I'm going to trust you for opportunities in these 6 people's lives. Just in the next 6 months that you're going to start to touch them. I'm going to start to have an expectation that there's going to be breakthrough in that person's life. Your neighbor, somebody at work. And you're going to begin to see the kingdom of God come. Because we're all ministers of the gospel, amen? Amen? Okay. So, this is where we're going to stand. Is that all right? I've been standing all the time. And we're going to take some oil. Because maybe you ask, how does God speak? I just made a list here. So, a still small voice, circumstance, people, dreams, visions, nature, the word of God. God speaks to us all the time. I want to encourage you in the next 2 weeks, just get an hour or 2 hours somewhere and go up the mountain. Say, God, speak, I'm listening. Just go into nature, out of your circumstances, out of the stuff that pressurizes you. Because where you are, you can't hear God's voice at the moment because there's too much noise. There's some people here that have been praying about their future. There's a really challenge about your future. I want you to come out quickly. The last 2 weeks, you've been really struggling about your future. I want you to come out quickly. We're going to anoint you. We're going to ask God. God, just give them a sound mind so that they can hear. If you've been praying stuff about your future, there's a massive struggle in your life the last 2 weeks about your future, I want you to come here. We're going to just anoint you. We're going to say, God, you know. We don't know. But we're going to consecrate these people to be vessels of honor. Scripture says in his house there are many vessels, and they're vessels of gold and silver, vessels of honor. We're going to say no vessels of stray or clay or other broken stuff. Maybe vessels of honor. You've been laying it before God. And we're going to just have a consecration moment. And the picture the Lord gave me for you guys and ladies today is, He's not going to give you a little card, Tony, to tell you here's the five steps of the next 5 years. He wants to take your hands. He wants to take your hands, Louis, and He wants you to walk with Him. It's an invitation to walk, because Scripture says He's got plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. So we're going to just anoint you. We're going to ask some of the district leaders and some people, Korea. Father, we anoint these people. The second group of people, if God is speaking to you today that you know that you're not living a spirit-filled life, or maybe you're not spirit-filled, maybe you've never come to that place, you're not living in a place of consecration, then I want you to come to the front here, because we're gonna pray for you. You just realize, like, I'm just going through the motions. I'm just a professional Christian, and I need to consecrate myself today again to God. There's somebody here, there's a man here, you've been dreaming dreams. God has been speaking to you, but for the last 7 or 8 years, there's just been nothing, and you're just getting used to that. Your tile has been broken long ago, and God wants to speak to you. And this week He's going to start to do that, but you need to humble yourself and just acknowledge and say to God, God, I realize that I've just walked away from this place of consecration. My heart has grown hardened towards my relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm treating Him as wallpaper. I'm just treating Him as, yeah, He's there. But I'm afraid to go to that place of crying, Abba, Father. Maybe you're here today and you need healing, just emotional healing, because you're very discouraged. There's some people that are heavy laden, and you're wearing burdens and stuff. You're wearing another seal, and God wants to deliver you from evil. That's what we pray every day. Say, God, deliver me from evil. If that's you, I want you to come out, sir. I want you to come and stand here and just let us pray for you. We're going to just consecrate you and say, God, we break the yokes of slavery. We want, Holy Spirit, you to cry out, Abba, Father, in their hearts. Lord, it will just become a spontaneous breakout of their spirits being released into a place. So if God is speaking to you, maybe you're here and you don't know Christ, then I want you to come to the front and just say to Him, Lord, I want to know you, Christ. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, the anointed Savior. When we come to Christ, He's Christ, He's the anointed one, anointed with the Holy Spirit. He's come to set the captives free. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to bring liberty to the oppressed. There's some of us, our prison doors need to open up today, and it's only the Holy Spirit that can do that. Christ has broken that door. He's given you the keys, and we want to just agree with you. If you're sitting here and you need deliverance, there's just like a heaviness. There's some people I sense that are dreaming dreams, very bad dreams. And this week, there's a specifically a lady on Thursday. You dreamt a dream that you're trapped. You're trapped in a place and you can't get out. I want to pray for that lady specifically. I want you to come right to where I am, because we need to pray that God will set you free. You're trapped in a specific place and God is going to set you free. So won't you just come as we're going to minister to people. I want some small group leaders to get some oil and come and help us to pray in front. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your freedom. We thank you today, God. Thank you. I want to encourage us, if you're here with your family or some friends and you're still standing at the back, won't you just take their hands and just pray a prayer of consecration to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, we're on this journey. We want to follow you. We want to be led by you, but we want to acknowledge you in our lives. And if you're sick in your body, there's some people with intense shoulder pains. I don't know if it's about stress or stuff, but you have got such stiff shoulders and necks. I want you to come out quickly and just come and stand here so that we can pray for you. If you need healing in your body, there's also a lady here that gets a lot of pains. You get physical pains that's really unbearable for you sometimes. We want to pray for you. Because Scripture says, hey, let the elders anoint you with oil and pray for God's healing. The Holy Spirit is here to heal. So if you need healing in your body or emotionally, why don't you just come and stand right here in front so that we can know who you are. We're going to anoint you. We're going to just take authority over that sickness as we just take a time to worship God. If you here as a family, why don't you just pray together, or maybe just a friend, just take their hands and just say, welcome, Spirit of God. I acknowledge you in my life. And then you do the same in your family. Before you go into that front door to go and eat your afternoon chicken or whatever you need to eat, then you say, God, you welcome here. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you in this place.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.